Kermode on the carry.
18th carry of the night. He's creeping towards 192 yards total.
He's been well over 100 in each of the playoff games so far. 127 and I think 145 last week.
Tim Abel's going to have to dial something up here, though, to get trying a couple first downs just to knock Cecina back a little bit. They're really flying around the field. Their defense is starting to feel pretty comfortable. I think they realize Tigers aren't going to throw the ball on them.
Loaded full backfield with three men back there to lead Kermode, who takes the direct snap, and still Cecina gets in between those three lead blockers and throws the run back for a loss.
Elijah Phillips, a junior, 5'9", 185. He had Kermode before he could even make a move and lost 3 yards on the play.
You load up like that, you think you could account for everybody, but Cecina's finding the ways to get in between. Back to the line of scrimmage.
Heard the first yell from the crowd. Somebody put the quarterback back in. They're still going wildcat with Kermode back there. And Tim Abel, very conservative right now in this quarter.
Third down and nearly 10. Same formation, three blockers, and then Kermode on direct snap. He'll run to the right side and get crunched down after a gain of about four, about five, but it will bring up a fourth down. So the Tigers quickly with a possession, and that results in a punt. The ball at the 46 of Triton Central. Mitch Kleeman on to handle the punting duties. And he's gotten away what proved to be two effective punts, but it's been a little difficult to watch. Some pressure coming off the near side. His best effort of the night, but this one may be returnable. Good coverage by Triton Central. The catch at the 25, the tackle at the 26. And I think Bo Borenstein, after the tackle, is a little bit shaken up as he slowly gets to his feet.
After a long first half, Johnny, with a lot of celebration going on constantly, we're 2:42 left in the third quarter, and what's rolled by pretty quickly.
Game remains tied at 27. And now Cecina's turn to try and break the tie.
Tim Abel putting some trust in his defense, going real conservative with his offense here in the third quarter, trying to maybe steal some time here right now and try to keep this game where it's at and pull off something late in the game.
Triton showing blitz off the outside. Middlebrook will get a pitch, run the ball, and the Tigers, for a change, are able to kind of stretch Middlebrook until he turns it up outside the hash mark and is brought down at the 31 for a gain of about four.
Really, Cecina's just kind of made the mistakes. They're at right at 130 yards rushing, 185 passing, 300 yards of offense tonight. They've been able to kind of pick and choose where they want to go and what they want to do, but an Ayers interception and an Ayers fumble and a blocked punt, again on Ayers, which you're really surprised to say at this point in time, has been the difference.
Baker, the lone receiver to the left. Ball didn't come out cleanly on the snap. Ayers had to fumble around for it. Finally, on maybe the second or third time, he picked it up and then throws, and the receiver incomplete.
I just messed the entire timing of the play up. A low snap that skipped to him, and he didn't catch it clean. He had to take his eyes off downfield and pick it up, and then he just tried to rip one outside real quick to Funk, who couldn't hold it and pull it in. Now you're Triton Central. You've got that third down play you want. If you're Tim Abel, what you did the last two series has a chance to work right. You can get a stop. It'll be to your favor, to your advantage.
Third and six. From the 31 for Cecina. Three receivers right, lone receiver set to the left. Running back in the backfield with Ayers. Ayers rolling to his right. Shut off there. Stop, stands in the pocket. Now tries to run away from pursuit and then flips the ball forward. And this ball is loose or an incompletion. The referee says it will go as an incomplete pass attempt.
Well, Middlebrook's like, where's the whistle? I'm going for a touchdown. He picked up that loose ball and would have been gone.
And you know what?
They're going to say he's down at that spot.
He will be maybe whistled down before he released the football. That is one of those, boy, Ayers, you're leaving it in the judgment of the referee at that point, whether or not you were trying to pass or whether or not you fumbled.
Now we've got a flag down.
Well, will there be grounding involved here?
Yeah, but there was a receiver in the area. I'd give him, unless it was a lineman, but he shoveled the ball forward with a player in the area. The problem was there was also about three Triton Central players in the area. Dangerous play. Ayers trying to do too much.
So Ayers is going down. We may find out that he was down. He releases the football. And now we wait on a flag. And here's the referee. And it will be intentional grounding on Mac Ayers. On a ball that just simply from what could happen, he never should have let go.
No, I'm just surprised at the mistakes that Ayers have made as a senior leader. There, right there, just trying to do way, way, way too much in a dangerous part of the field in a game that's got so long to go. I mean, that was almost catastrophe for them.
So, just inside the 10-yard line.
Should be 4th and 27 now from the 10.
And Cecina, I think, still pleading their case across the way with the referee toward the bench.
Well, I said, as much as that was almost disaster, everybody converged on the ball and it skipped loose. Middlebrook jumped and picked it up and had the entire sideline. He was gone. That would have been a touchdown for Cecina if they let the play go on there and called it a fumble.
So Cecina will send Ayers into his own end zone, standing at the top of the R in Tigers, awaiting the snap. And the officials step in and stop play for a moment, getting everybody positioned. And now set to go, Cecina to punt, and the Tigers awaiting this ball at the 40-yard line.
They look like they're going after it.
He comes, Ayers gets it away, and I think he kicked it off his shin or ankle, and it takes off at an awkward angle toward the sidelines, and it did not even reach the 30-yard line.
Yeah, he just pulled that one quickly, trying to get it out of his end zone.
They will spot it at the 26. It's a 16-yard punt. And now, Triton Central, you've done good work, and you've had the stage set for you by opportunities provided by Cecina. You need to take advantage here.
And your quarterback, Eric Heboff, comes back out on the field for this series, so Triton to go more to its traditional offense right now.
First down 10 from the Cecina 26.
And Richard Knowles in the backfield.
Hayden Kermode, the back, runs in motion right to left. The give to Knowles, and caught by the ankles early, falls forward to the 25. Gain of a yard.
Triton's offensive line's got to get control of this game here a little bit. They've really struggled here in the third quarter.
Second down, 9. Everybody on the Tiger offense looking at the left wrist for a call as they cuddle. From about the 25, we're down to the final minute 20 here in the third period. Heboff from under center. Back staggered behind him. David Steele, wide receiver in motion, running to the left, and Knowles will try to get to the left. Turns the corner, turns it up, and has first down yardage.
Good speed by Knowles getting to the corner. We talked about that in the first half where I thought he was a little slow to get up to speed. He got up to speed quickly there and was able to turn it.
More decisive as he turned north-south.
Well, you got to go. You just can't sit here and wait and hope the line's going to pop open. That's a 9-yard gain, and that's going to put him right at 97 yards on 7 carries, Johnny.
Ball at the 15, first and 10, final 50 seconds of this third period.
First time you've said first and down for Triton Central here in the third quarter.
Oh, that's right.
2-4, 2-3 and out series on their first two possessions.
Ebaugh from under center, receiver left, receiver Steele right, now moving left in motion. The run for Knowles, tries to hop over the initial pile and fall forward. Going to get him a yard, nothing more. It'll be 2nd and 9 from the 14.
Tried to cut it up in there, and it just wasn't anywhere to go.
Knowles checking out. Keaton Kermode will replace him. Game clock at 11. Triton does not have to snap the football if they don't wish. We'll see if they get this play off as they approach the line of scrimmage. Everybody up and set. And the play clock will expire, and we'll move to the other end of the field as the Tigers try to take the lead as we go to the fourth. Sectional championship night at Bud Mendenhall Field. We've got a good one. Triton Central and Cecina, tied at 27 on Giant FM.
Since 1954, Harvester Financial Credit Union has been a trusted financial institution that offers a tailored approach to fit our members' needs. Our members are member owners, and because of this cooperative model, we're able to save our members money with low fees and competitive loan rates. Whether you need a loan to buy a car, consolidate debt, or advice on how to budget, we are here for your banking needs. We're located at 1220 Miller Avenue in Shelbyville. Federally insured by NCUA.
Local radio is high school football on Giant FM.
High school football, Giant FM Sports, is being brought to you by First Bank Shelbyville, doing great things together, and by Maximum Results, dream homes found here. Triton Central, 27. Cecina, 27. Tigers moving deep into Cecina territory as we begin the fourth period of play. The winner moves on to a regional appearance next week, most likely against top-ranked Western Boone.
Johnny, will sneak a couple basketball scores in while we can. In the third quarter, Waldron leads Blue River Valley 47-36 in the opener for the Mohawks this season. And into third quarter, the other game we've been talking about, Greensburg 51, Jacksonville 26.
Greensburg going to be very talented. State championship appearance a year ago. Second out of nine, Triton Central from the 14. Keaton Kermode vacates the backfield. Eric Heboff looking to throw. Pulls it down, runs to the right, now being pressured, gets to the sideline and throws incomplete.
Nice job by Heboff there, making sure that nothing devastating happened there. Kept waiting, trying to find an open receiver and just couldn't find one.
So third and nine from the 14.
It's one of those where you live to fight the next play there. There's no need to force one in somewhere, no need to get one tip, throw it into an interception, just throw it out of bounds. Want to avoid the sack here, too, though. Very important. 14-yard line. You're looking at about a 31-yard, 32-yard field goal here. So you don't want to lose it. Now we got a flag. We got a late substitution, possibly.
Cowbells are hoping to make some noise here in Fairland.
I don't know if Triton was shuffling too many people in and out of the huddle. No, now they're calling grounding. He's outside the pocket, and there was...
Eric Heboff got all the way to the right sideline before he threw the ball right down the sideline and out of bounds. And now
Tim Abel wants
we get grounding call. So a grounding call on Triton Central. And the Tigers will be
third to fourth down then, doesn't it?
They should lose down and yardage. Ball marked back to the 29-yard line. And Tim Abel will get a few of his skill players over while he's got time. They haven't started the play clock yet to talk it over. Wow, big, big call there.
So that makes it third down, but it makes it now 29-yard line. 24-yard to get 24 to get first down.
Now they've got to get down to the
penalty,
yeah.
So it's third and 20.
Got to get down inside to the six
from the 29-yard line. So not only that, it took you out of field goal range. Well, there's some confusion in getting the play clock to restart. I don't get that call.
I don't either
at all. And I know Tim Abel would like to get an explanation. And I don't know how that's intentional grounding.
Heboff will work from under center. Horning jogs left to right at tight end. Staggered backs in the eye. The give to Keaton Kermode, and he gets room to the outside. Bounces it to the 20, the 15, and inside the 15.
Yeah, he'll get most of that penalty back and give Triton Central now a chance to potentially put a field goal on the board.
Looking at the official on our side of the field, and looks like they're going to put the ball at the 14. So basically, yes, he gets the 15 yards back on that rush.
That'll put Kermode over 100 yards for the night.
So what is now 4th and 9, ball on the 14, means that Mitch Kleeman comes in a big position here with a chance to give Triton Central the lead in the early going of the 4th quarter on what will be a 31-yard field goal attempt from the right hash. Kleeman the approach. It's got plenty of air underneath it. It is good. Mitch Kleeman from 31 yards out. And Triton Central regains the lead 30-27 on the First Bank Shelbyville scoreboard, 14 seconds in to the fourth period. I thought we were going to have a good game tonight. I don't know that I thought it would be as entertaining, as tight, and as fun as this one has been so far.
Well, there was just, I don't know, at my point, of course, I haven't seen Triton this year, to reading everything and studying and learning stuff. Was Triton going to be able to score? They hadn't scored in,
yeah, true.
You know, three straight games against Cecina. And, you know, I had a chance to see them last year. We knew exactly all the players. I mean, the names are all very similar, but offensively tonight, Triton Central has just been very good, and their defense is just kind of hanging on right now. It's what they've kind of laid their staple on all year, but tonight against a quality team like this, it's been tough, and they're making it work so far.
Well, Triton's gone from protecting a two-score lead to protecting a one-score lead to trying to make sure they get the ball back in a tie game, and now, for the first time, they'll protect a three-point lead. Short kickoff taken on the reception at the 21, return across the 30, the 35, and rolling across bodies out to the 39-yard line. Barnes on the return. First and 10, Cecina from the 39. Our coverage of high school football tonight brought to you by Larkey Insurance. Proudly representing Auto Owners Insurance, Todd and Craig Larkey. They've got you covered in Shelby County with Auto Owners. Safe, sound, secure. Three-point lead, Triton Central, Cecina football, first and 10. Two receivers right, receiver alone on the left, airs in shotgun. The snap, the give to Middlebrook right up the middle, and the Tigers stuff him after a gain of a yard.
No push from the Cecina offensive line there, and he's going to get a long yard on there, and that's even a little bit generous, but second and 9 for Cecina.
Tim Mabel imploring his defensive line, then yelling out some instructions to his nearby cornerback in Matt Gould.
You can't make a mistake tackling, though, here now. Fourth quarter, if you got a chance to get a guy to the ground, you got to get him to the ground.
Ayers pitching right for Middlebrook. There's green jerseys out there. He tries to turn it back up and does find a niche to squeeze himself through for a gain of about 3. Out to the 44. It's going to be 3rd down and 5.
Triton did a good job stretching that one out and didn't give Middlebrook any kind of lane to cut it up, and he got cut up and stopped. And then he had to try to dive forward there just to get himself in position to try to get some positive yardage out of it.
At last check, halftime, Western Boone leading North Putnam 28-0. 3rd and 5 here for Cecina. Early fourth quarter, Triton leading by 3 from the 44. Ayers in shotgun, 3 wide receivers. Middlebrook stays in the block. Pumps left. Now Ayers to run with the ball. He's got the first and gets across midfield on a run of 7 yards.
Made sure he held onto that ball at the same point in time, too, and he knew he was going to get hit. He wrapped it up with both arms and went to the ground. And a 7-yard gain for Ayers.
They'll put it at the 49 of Triton Central. 1st and 10 from there for the Crusaders. Triton 30-27 lead as we now go under 10 minutes left in regulation.
4 first downs for the Crusaders here in the third quarter, or in the second half. 13 for the game. 13-5, they lead that category on Triton Central.
2 receivers left. David Baker, lone wide receiver here on the right, the give to Middlebrook. And it looked good initially at the line of scrimmage, but then Middlebrook got caught from the left side. He still picks up about 3 on the carry.
Like to know what's in Ott Hurley's mind right now. Is just they haven't been able to do anything with the passing game. Ayers has been casual with the ball, got it stripped from him last time he ran. And we just say, let's power our way downfield here. Let's quit trying to be too cute and try to put some onus on our offensive line to just keep moving and move the chains downfield. Let's ground this thing down and get it in the end zone.
2nd down 7 from the Triton 44. Sliding a blocker in motion behind the line. Snap for Ayers. Triton Central wants a flag they're not going to get, and the throw over the middle is incomplete. And I'm not sure if the receiver didn't see the ball or was looking at somebody coming his way instead.
Yeah, I think Ayers let him a little too much, too. That was 27 McCormick Messer, and supposed to be right down. He was running down the hash. I don't know if he was supposed to kind of cut that into the middle of the field and didn't cut it enough, and Harris just led him too far.
So here we go again, another big third down play. This is third and seven from the 44.
And if you're Chris Cicina, you've got very little faith in your punting game right now because they've had one blocked and one shanked.
Ayers with Middlebrook off his left shoulder will throw on third and seven. Over the middle in traffic, tipped and incomplete. McCormick Messer, the intended receiver, but it was a man coming over the top who got his hands on it in Krause.
Looked like it was the same exact play that they ran last time and just tried to make sure the receiver cut it a little tighter, but Krause reached out, and at least if he didn't get a hand on the ball, got his eyes across the receiver's face, and it's fourth and seven from the 46, and now Ayers is going to try and punt.
Ayers will drop back into punt formation, standing at his 40 awaiting the snap. If you're Triton Central, you do need to be wary of the quarterback punter.
Triton going to hang back and take the return this time.
Ayers gets it off end over end, caught by Triton at the 18. Good coverage, tackle made at the 20-21-yard line as Borenstein did come up to make the catch. And you know what? Credit needs to be made for Bo Borenstein, because we've seen how many punters in high school ball might let that one go, and then it rolls inside the five. Borenstein comes up, make the catch, and Triton's at its own 20.
Well, not only that, knowing he had a defender racing in on him, secured it, Triton game plan was obvious there. We want the ball. And just Tim Abel didn't pull any punches there, just dropped everybody back, said let's get the ball, get possession, and now 8:50 on the clock. They want to ground time here and just keep working up first downs if they can.
Knowles is in the game as the tailback. Eboff from under center. Horning switches right to left at tight end. Long count. Eboff gets the snap, hands off, and Knowles through the line to the 30. Nearly broke another tackle. He drags a man across the 35 to the 36.
Well, they'd love to see one break off. A touchdown would be huge right here to get a two-score lead on Cicina.
That goes for 15. And Knowles over 100
tonight?
Knowles
over 100 now. Kermode over 100. And Middlebrook for Cicina's over 100.
Out to the 36. First and 10, Triton Central.
It's an odd snap, though, wasn't it, Johnny? Eboff really stayed under center and just held his position there. You don't normally see that from a quarterback. Just held and held. The play clock was at 7 when he snapped it.
Hayden Kermode, the lead blocking back, staggered off toward the left. Knowles, the tailback. They'll give to Knowles. Hops over a man down to the line of scrimmage, and now he's down after a good first down gain of 5.
They're making sure the play clock's inside 10. It almost looks like they all just take a deep breath and like, okay, here we go. It's almost because he's taken an extra couple seconds under center. He gets down there and holds his position and doesn't move, and he looks down both sides of the line. It's almost like we're taking a second to just get our thoughts. Get a deep breath in, and now let's push and see what we can get.
Clock under 8 minutes. Triton Central 30, Cicina 25, Tiger football operating with a 2nd and 5 from their own 41-yard line. Horning shifts from the right to left end. Knowles again the deep back. Eboff long count under center, gives to Knowles. Good patience and then a burst that leaves him in the area of a first down.
Well, that time they took the play clock down right about to 1. They are going to get the first down. And it's almost, in a way, too, it's got Cicina's defensive line off balance because they can't time it. They can't jump it. They have to sit there and wait as well and figure out when is he going to actually make the snap. And as long as he keeps changing the count, they're making it tough on him.
New set of downs. Clock continues to run.
It's a dangerous play to run, though, Johnny, when you're only up by 3. You can't just grind out an 8:50-minute drive here. You got to hope it happens, because if it doesn't work, you're not going to leave a lot of time left as Cicina gets the ball back and scores.
Horning leaves left tight end, slides out to the right. Knowles just about able to shed a tackler on his left shoulder in the backfield, but not quite. He does pull himself back into the area of the line of scrimmage.
Go back to the line of scrimmage. I'm not sure if that makes sense what I was trying to say, John.
It does.
You don't want to run.
It does.
If you take it down all the way to the end zone and run the clock out, it's great. But if you don't and leave 2 minutes on the clock, 3 minutes, and Cicina scores, you're not going to get the ball back. So it's a dangerous little game to play here, trying to run some clock down and make it tough on Cicina when you're only up by a field goal.
And now Triton in a 2nd and long, 2nd and 10.
If you're up by a touchdown and a field goal, up double digits, 2 scores, and that's exactly the game you want to play.
Handoff as Kermode checks in, and he'll be brought down.
He couldn't get through. Hayden popped through ahead of him, Kermode trying to block, and Keaton just couldn't quite pop through there with him and scoot through a gain of one on the play.
Jeff, now it's going to be third down and a long down. 9 yards to go. Clock will go under 6 minutes right now. Triton Central from its 48, third and nine.
Now you haven't run well enough to sneak out a play-action pass. You've almost got to get in a passing situation, or do you have something tricky up your sleeve that you've been holding on to if you're Tim Abel?
Two receivers, make it three, set to the right. No one in the Tiger backfield. Deep into the backfield goes Kermode for a pitch, looking to run, and he'll be knocked backwards. A loss of a yard. It's fourth down, and Triton Central is going to have to punt this football as Kleeman comes on.
Yeah, just not a fan of that play with Kermode. If you're going to go speed on the pitch, then let's do that with Knowles, who's a little bit quicker.
So the ball sits between the 48 and 49 of Triton Central. Kleeman is on. He stands back at his 36, awaiting the snap. Two return men are sent deep for Cecina with 5:02, 5:01 and counting. Kleeman gets the punt away. Cecina will not come up to field it. It'll hit at the 30 and roll down to the 22-yard line. And Cecina, down by three, takes over the football.
Well, you've loved your defense all season. You're putting all your pressure on them right now. Maybe one more stop is all you need to get that sectional title.
From the 22. And Tim Abel is out onto the field, headset off, yelling at officials.
And I can tell you why, because Cecina had 12 men on the field. Number 45 was racing off the field. That was Tyrell Rasko, and he was about four steps from getting to the sideline when the ball was snapped, and he ran right by an official, and they didn't call it. They let him since he was coming off that direction, and he was in full sprint mode, but he did not get to the sideline in time.
4:52 to go. Snap for Ayers. Give to Middlebrook. He hesitated in the backfield and then going to be taken down after a gain of a couple. Second down and eight. Cecina with a timeouts to work with, and time on the clock as we go to 4:34.
18th carry for Middlebrook tonight. Warrior running back for them. It's just been here and Ayers scrambling. Middlebrook's had all the handoffs tonight.
Ball at the 24. Middlebrook in the backfield with Ayers. Four wide receivers. Three go to the right side of the offense. Ayers looking left, now back toward the middle of the field. Now decides to run with the football. He's got good yardage. He's got the first down, and a dive gets him more than that across the 35 to the 37-yard line.
No thought about going down. He was head first diving. He's past the chain and picking up more yardage. Got all the way to the 37, 13-yard gain for Ayers. And another first down for Cecina.
Clock continues to roll. It goes under 4 minutes right now.
Field goal, I think you've got to be 35 yards probably. At the 35-yard field goal attempt, 40 at the most to feel comfortable from what I've seen from Smith.
Longest one on the stats, 29, the only attempt this year. Pass that is deflected in the air and picked up by Triton Central. It hit the receiver, it hit a guy in a green jersey, and then Trent Walters running right into the football, picks it off for the second time tonight.
I don't know where he came from. He came flying out of nowhere, and I can't guess without seeing it. I want to think Hornig maybe was the one that popped it up in the air.
I think it bounced off the receiver, right. Then hits Hornig, and then it's just in the air waiting for Walters to come get it.
And if it wasn't for Hornig deflecting that up in the air, Walters never would have got it because that ball would have gone down to the ground. And Hornig actually popped it up a little bit, which gave Walters a chance to get it right at the 50-yard line.
Cecina, another turnover, and now the Tigers need to get some first downs. First and 10, Triton. They take over at the Cecina 46 with 3:42 to play. Under center, Heboff gives to Kermode and just dive it into the line. He'll get a couple.
Well, there's no secret to what's coming. Well, Coach Abel's on Heboff big time. Did he miss a call there or something he could have checked off of? I'm not sure what he's upset with him about, but he's yelling and giving him a question about something.
Now Heboff gets the play call, and he'll deliver that to the Tiger huddle.
Kermode with a 2-yard gain, second and eight.
And boy, Tim Abel is animated right now about something, and he
is. Or did he snap it too early? Maybe that's what he's thinking. There's only 19 on the play clock. There's no reason to get under center.
He's still angry as they come to the line of scrimmage.
He snapped that one with 15 on the clock, so there's no reason to be snapping it. And that's what he's. I mean, he's on somebody to. You've got to watch the clock. Now's the time you want to kill that clock.
There's no hurry. The give to Kermode this time, no gain, and just like that. Triton Central's into a third and eight. The clock does continue to move with 2:45. I thought maybe Cecina at least one timeout in this series, but they haven't done it yet.
Yeah, but he's been too quick with the snap. Again, 15 on the clock. You don't even need to get under center. Now he's going to stand both hands on hip, and it's 10, and give it a chance to let it run. I mean, they've had a chance to kill another 15, 20 seconds on snaps that they didn't do.
30-27 Triton Central, third down and eight. Heave off the give to Kermode, dives again into the line and picks up maybe two. Fourth down and six coming up. Cecina will utilize a timeout here and stop the clock with 2:14. But you are right, from the clock management that really took away a scoring opportunity at the end of the half to the clock management now, Triton's hurt themselves a bit.
Yeah, it's not a big deal right now just because you're going to give Cecina at least 2 minutes on the clock. It's 2:14. You probably could have took that 14 off the clock. That only matters if it gets down to the end zone down there and there's only a few seconds left and you could have ran it out. But it's just, again, a sophomore quarterback that hadn't been in that situation. There's just no hurry to take the snap there, especially when you're just handing the ball off. You know that's what's coming. Now it's going to be up to your snapper, Jackson Miller, and he's outstanding even though his first snap tonight was a little bit low. He's got to put it on Cleveland, and Cleveland's got to pin them down, and then you've got to cover, and then you've got to make one more defensive stop.
Cleveland back at his own 45 for this snap. Cecina with two men deep in Middlebrook and Hillman. Snap for Cleveland. One step, gets it away. Up to take it is Middlebrook at the 20, and the Tigers have green jerseys there, a return of 6 yards. Cecina will start this possession at the 26-yard line with 2:05 to go in the fourth, trailing Triton Central 30-27.
Only a 16-yard punt. Nothing sexy about it, but it pinned them down far enough to make them work. Again, Cecina only needs a field goal, and they're probably going to have to get inside the 20-yard line of Triton Central to feel comfortable running Smith out there and give him a decent chance of making a field goal. He's got plenty of leg.
Since early, Matt Gould has made David Baker very quiet in this game.
Well, Ayers hasn't been able to settle in and throw. He's been able to, it seems like when he's tried to step back, he's had some pressure coming. Triton defensive line's been able to get in there and at least make him move around and not get settled. And yeah, you're right. They haven't thrown to Baker. He's got one catch in the second half for 7 yards.
He's alone here on the right side. Four receivers, first and 10, Cecina from its own 26. Snap for Ayers, looks at Baker, then pumps, throws, and Baker trying to outrun the coverage. A dive and incomplete at the 35.
They tried a double move, and he ran through three Tigers out there. I see Hornig, and I see Gould, and the last man, Walters. All three of them out there, and Baker still just about ran under that one.
Second down and 10.
Seven incompletions in a row for Ayers, who hit his first four to start the third quarter. He's been sitting on 185 yards passing now for quite a while.
2 minutes exactly left on the fourth quarter clock.
And it was offense, offense, offense first half. It's been defense, defense, defense after that first series to start the third quarter.
Ayers in shotgun, four receivers, Baker alone on the right. Ayers to throw, running out of time in the pocket. He finally unleashes one, tipped up into the air, and at the same time, a receiver and a defensive back closed in on the football. Neither one can get it off the tip. And it's again, Walters trying to make a dive for a pick.
Walters going after Aaron Steele's record right now tonight. So now he had a chance at the tip one. He was going for interception number three, and I didn't see the other one. I think that was Borenstein that went flying through there, disrupting the timing. And again, Ayers, no pocket to sit in back there. He's having to keep his feet moving and scrambling around just to get himself a chance to throw.
Third down and 10. From the 26, a minute 51 left. Ayers dropping straight back. throws it high, deep, lofting downfield, and over his receiver, incomplete. Fourth and 10 coming up.
Just not quite sure I understand the thought process here. You've got 2 minutes and timeouts. Why are you trying to chuck it 40, 50 yards when you've got 2 minutes? You had 2 minutes to work with. No need to go for the home run. I understand maybe first down taking a shot at Baker. But after that, and you still had Middlebrook, who's had success all night long running the ball. Been a little befuddled by the thought process of the Cecina offense right here. Now you're Triton Central. It's one play. You got to give up no more than 9 yards on this play, and you can call yourself a sectional champ.
Fourth and 10. Here we go. No one in the backfield except for Ayers. Five wide receivers. Ayers steps up in the pocket, throws, complete. It's a first down and down the sideline, over midfield and out of bounds.
Yeah, I was able to find a crossing route there, and that was number one, Andrew Payne, his first catch of the night.
Andrew Payne, only his 10th catch of the year there, and it moves Cecina into Tiger territory at the 48-yard line, first and 10 with 1:37 left. Triton Central leads 30-27.
26-yard completion there at the Triton Central 48. And that finally moved Ayers over 200 yards passing tonight.
No one in the backfield except for Ayers. Five wide receivers. Low snap, clean catch. He'll throw, complete, and the receiver dives out of bounds. Triton thinking that maybe he bobbled it on the way down. Not the case. It'll be a gain of 9, second and 1. Clock stops at the 39-yard line.
Funk with the catch there, and this is a little more maybe what I thought of Cecina would come out with. You don't need to go deep downfield.
Right back on to the line of scrimmage. Ayers looking, is hit as he throws and delivers a ball that's caught at the 30. Nice pass by Ayers, one of his better efforts of the night, and it brings a new set of downs at the 30-yard line, first and 10, with a minute 15 and counting in this one.
That was to Baker on the catch there.
Again, five wide receiver set. Ayers backpedaling. He's got time in the pocket, lost toward the end zone, jump ball. It is caught by Cecina.
He had inside position. The defensive back was behind him and tried to swipe at it, and I couldn't still haven't tell if that's Baker that came down with it?
I haven't decided.
Triton player, the defensive back, is down on the ground. I'm going to say it was Baker, but I'm still not 100% sure until he comes out of the crowd here.
Got the helmet off up the right sideline there. It is Baker. Yep. Touchdown. Wow. A ball that was, and for all intents and purposes, may have been intentionally thrown short. Baker stayed back of the defensive back and almost held him off like a rebound as he jumped up and caught the ball and landed in the end zone. Touchdown, Cecina, taking the lead. And right now, up by 3 with 1:01 to go and an important extra point still to come.
Well, and they've called timeout, too, as I really wants to talk about it and see what they're going to do. But again, like you said, just throw into your top receiver in the end zone. You had the defensive back behind him. All he could do was try to strip arm down through it, and he couldn't get enough on it to keep Baker from pulling it in.
So both teams over to the sideline for a talk. It's gotten very quiet compared to what it was in the buildup just a few moments ago here on the Triton sideline.
Smith, the kicker, coming out. He's going to set up for the extra point.
This will be the difference between whether or not Triton Central can try to scramble and get in field goal position or whether they'll need a touchdown.
Good timeout by Ott Hurley there just to settle your team down. The emotion's running wild there, and you know you need this extra point. Gave his guys a chance to regroup just a little bit and get focused in to finish the job.
Snap and hold. Kick is good. And Cecina now leading Triton Central 34-30. And the Tigers will receive the upcoming kickoff and nothing special to happen on special teams. No time to feel bad about things. And the Tigers have over the course of, well, several years, done a lot of special things when it comes to kickoff plays and big returns. What kind of opportunity will Cecina allow them on this kickoff?
Well, they haven't shied away from kicking deep all night long. You try the line drive up the middle now and try to just get the timing off just a little bit and see if you can stop them. You can't fear Triton going deep downfield, their offense. It's just not what they do. They've only really had success running the ball tonight, so they're not going to air it out like Ayers did. All you really got to do is try to pin them down on their own end right now.
34-30, Cecina. Backed up on a final play and made it happen to get to midfield and then turned it into a touchdown. And they're dancing in the bleachers across the way.
The way this game's going, I wouldn't celebrate too much just yet until you get it in Tiger stopped or get the ball back.
Smith on the approach. He will kick deep.
Way deep.
And over the head of the Tiger return man who had been pulled up around the 10, Triton will start from its own 20-yard line with 1-on-1 to play. And now you have to do, even if Aaron Steele was quarterback, what you were not accustomed to doing, and that is throw for chunks of yardage.
Yeah, you're not a passing team per se, and you know the fact that Cecina's going to be sitting back with most everybody deep in the back out there. They're going to hang back and try to keep Triton Central from being able to gain. Do they need about 60 yards, Johnny? Maybe even to give a field goal. Well, I guess you don't need a field goal. It doesn't matter. You need all 80 yards right now, so they've got to go deep in 60 seconds.
Heave off in shotgun. Throws and quick slant intended for Gould. And if he makes the catch, he might be able to get 10, 15 yards out of it. There were defensive backs approaching from in front, but it hits him on the hands and goes incomplete.
Man, that's a big mental blow, too, because that play was set up to get you a great start on your last drive. And the miss just kind of, the body language changes after the miss there. Your head goes down, your shoulders go down. Oh, because that was a chance to get some momentum, get your crowd back into it, and get it started.
Second and 10 from the 20. Heave off with Knowles off his left shoulder. Three receivers, including Hayden Kermode, going in motion. The throw is in for Kermode. He makes the catch, but immediately tackled for no gain at the 20.
Pass to Hayden Kermode.
Only the third completion, I think, for Triton tonight, including the Keaton Kermode 40-yard pass. And now, are they saying, what is the conversation here?
I thought they called timeout, and the official didn't signal it quick enough and allowed more time to run off the clock.
33.4 seconds left. And both teams now off what was just indicated to be a Cecina timeout.
Yeah, it was Triton timeout.
Well, I'm just saying he waves Cecina with both arms.
Really? Okay, the original official down here, I know, signal. I'm not even sure, does Cecina have a timeout left?
So 33.4 on the clock. And Triton with a third down play coming up from its own 20, so they haven't gone anywhere since taking over the football. And time and everything working against the Tigers now, down by 4. Boy, you're up 3.
One stop, really.
Fourth down and a long ways to go. And Cecina converts.
To a guy that's had a handful of catches all year long. Mm-hmm. Comes, steps up and pulls the ball in and makes a play.
Yeah, pain.
Been a great rivalry the last few years, and I'm just going to throw this game right on top of it. It's going to be one that both teams will remember for a long time.
Third down and 10 to get a first. 80 to get a score. Eboff back to throw. Gets some air underneath it. Throws it out there for almost a jump ball situation. Triton begging for a pass interference call that won't come. The ball is incomplete. And now fourth down.
Yeah, trying to get Bornstein there, and prior to that setup, Cicino's two safeties, I think every play have dropped back 10 yards further and 10 yards further and 10 yards further. They're going to be in full prevent mode. Now you give up the first down, let them have the first down. It doesn't matter. You just got to make sure you keep them on this side of the field.
Eboff runs in a play call. Play clock at 13 as the Tigers come up to the line of scrimmage and maybe for the final time offensively in this season. Play clock at 3. They get it off. It's fumbled away. Heboff has to retrieve the ball, throws on the run. It's tipped twice, incomplete, and there's a flag.
We might get interference. Cicina coming over the shoulder there.
Bornstein had coverage over his back and coming from the side.
It's going to be pass interference on Cicina, and Triton still got life.
And it'll be the flag thrown at the 29. That's where the infraction occurred. They go back to the line of scrimmage and mark it off 15 yards from the 20 to the 35. So Triton still alive, barely, with 22.9 on the clock, and they are going to have to chance it with deeper throws downfield now.
Well, that was Heboff did a nice job averting disaster. He missed the snap. Dropped it on the ground, was able to pick it up and step up inside the pressure there and get a throw off that gave his receiver a chance, and the Cicina defensive back just came over the shoulder a little too quick.
Horning and Gould wide right, Hayden Kermode wide to the right, two more receivers here to the near side. Heboff alone in the backfield. Pressure, throws as he's drugged down, complete near midfield. Matt Gould trying to get out of bounds. He avoids a tackler and does get out at the 42-yard line with 14.4 seconds left.
Triton's still got a little bit of life in there, just glimmering right now.
Boy, Heboff had to run a long way. He caught that in the middle of the field and then ran all the way across to get out of bounds at the 43.
22-yard gain for Gould. Crossing the field and avoiding the tackle and then just sprinting forward and sideways at the same time to get out of bounds.
It's a first down with 14.4 on the clock. Heboff back to throw. Throws complete to Gould, out of bounds again. And out of bounds, and a flag comes down. Late hit on the sideline. It'll go against Cicina.
Spencer Martinell was out there. The official going to give Triton a break here. Just a short gain, but all of a sudden, the end zone's within reach if this is a Cicina penalty of a late hit or unsportsmanlike.
Unsportsmanlike will be the call. It wasn't so much a late hit as it was kind of a jerk on the body after you let the guy go from the tackle, and that's a senior in Martinelli.
It's an 8-yard gain on the pass play.
And 15 more tacked on will mark the ball down to the 20-yard line with 10.2 left on the clock. And now you can at least reach the end zone on a pass play. Heboff.
You've only got probably two chances, though, with the time left.
From shotgun. Pressure up the middle. Heboff gets it off incomplete. 7.3 left to go.
Cicina brought a lot of pressure that time. That was pretty much a jailbreak up the middle there coming at him.
And now you've got to believe no more than two plays if you can get two off.
Got to get it down a little deeper, too. That was going to be a little bit short underneath about the 10-yard line going towards the sideline.
Ball at the 20. Cicina, 34. Triton Central, 30. 7.3 seconds left for the Tigers. They need a touchdown. Three receivers right. Borenstein working off the left. Heboff the snap. Pressure up the middle. Throws over the middle. It's complete for the moment, but then rocked out of there by a hit and incomplete at the 3. And it may be just as well because I don't see any way Triton Central stops the clock.
Yeah, the only
is there a timeout?
Grace they would have had is it would have been a first. It would have been a first down.
But 1.9.
That would have been, it'd been tough to get the ball clocked. So you've got to go to the end zone now. Triton got a timeout. They're going to take it.
They did have one. I apologize. I thought they were without one. So that they completed that one. Boy, from the 3, you could have done, I guess, anything you felt comfortable with at that point.
Running game's back in play then as Knowles comes trotting up to the huddle now. They've got to get something. Now it's got to reach the end zone. You can't leave it short. can't get tackled at the 1 yard line because you're, if you're a senior, your career is over. It's got to be end zone or pack them up, boys.
What a finish.
It's been two completely different games. I mean, the second half's been the game we probably thought we were going to see, right?
Yes,
seven,
I agree.
Basically, what, 7-3, 14-3? I mean, the second half's been about the defense, getting stops, turning the ball over, getting the ball back. First half was just nothing but offense on both sides of the ball.
So let's quickly reset everything. Cecina leading Triton Central by four, 34-30. 1.9 seconds remain in regulation. And Triton Central, it's third down, just to have the math on the table for you. And the Tigers either need to get in the end zone or have a defensive penalty prolong this thing.
Triton's thrown everything at Cecina tonight. It's got every swing it can. It needs one more big punch.
Heave off, the snap, the throw, over the middle, knocked down, incomplete. Cecina, the sectional champs.
Trying to get Kermode over the middle, and he didn't even quite have his eyes on it. The defensive back had a better read on it. I think it was Baker. Yeah, it was Baker that knocked it down.
And the celebration, for the moment, carried over to the Triton Central sideline as Baker was lifted up by teammates, but Baker quickly gets himself down and turns around to the first Tiger he sees and starts offering handshakes. So well done on something that could have gotten a little bit iffy on the sideline here at the end. What a game. What a finish. Outstanding effort by both teams, and as entertaining as you'll find any sectional title in the state tonight. Our final on the First Bank Shelbyville scoreboard. Cecina 34, Triton Central 30. Coming up, our H&R Block post game on Giant FM Sports.
Are you experiencing foot or ankle pain? Hi, I'm Dr. Brian Elliott. As a board-certified surgeon at MHP Foot and Ankle Surgery, I specialize in treating common and complex conditions of the foot and ankle, such as sports injuries, trauma, and multiple types of deformities. My goal is to get to know you as my patient so we can work together to obtain the best possible outcome. If you are experiencing foot or ankle pain, call my office today at 317-421-BONE to schedule an appointment.
MHP Foot and Ankle Surgery, moving healthcare forward in a major way.
Your number one Golden Bear fans, Auto Owners Insurance and Olinger Insurance is a winning combination. They'll work with you to ensure your home, auto, business, and life to keep everything you value safe, sound, secure. Auto Owners Insurance, the no problem people. Visit Olinger Insurance in Shelbyville today at 707 East State Road 44 or call Keith Limpus at 317-398-8936.
Heritage House of Shelbyville, your leading rehab-to-home long-term care and memory care community, will always be full of the friendly, caring faces that come guaranteed with our signature family-owned and operated reputation. Now our warm and inviting atmosphere comes with a brand-new remodeled makeover. Heritage House is excited to announce we have doubled the size of our brand-new memory care wing. Haven Court, come visit us at 2309 South Miller Street or call 317-398-9781 to tour our beautiful new memory care wing, Haven Court. Rush Shelby Energy is committed to reliable electricity. That's why Rush Shelby Energy invested more than $4 million in the last 10 years to manage more than 2,000 miles of power lines. Because Rush Shelby Energy member families and businesses depend on reliable power, keeping the lights on is their top priority. Visit Rush Shelby Energy at rse.coop or on Facebook and Twitter for more information. At Rush Shelby Energy, we keep the lights on.
And we shine. Working together.
Since 2005, Shelby County and the surrounding area has come to rely on Ron Kelsey and his team at Color Palette, your complete paint and flooring store for commercial and residential needs. When you're looking for new flooring to upgrade or remodel your home, be sure to visit Color Palette's extensive showroom located at 514 North Harrison Street in Shelbyville. At Color Palette, you'll find a large selection of flooring, from carpet to hardwoods to laminates and ceramics. Looking to paint your home or business? Choose from Color Palette's selection of Pratt & Lambert paint.
When you do the same thing over and over, you become an expert. At Shelby Materials, they get outstanding feedback from their customers. They hear things like, "I know they'll take care of me." It may sound odd that a concrete and aggregate company would care so much about what other people think, but they do. Look for the blue and yellow trucks. Shelby Materials, the concrete and aggregate expert. Bottom line, they'll take care of you. ShelbyMaterials.com.
Dreaming the good life? A kitchen or entertaining area completely designed around your modern taste. D&B Cabinet Sales lets you make choices that reflect you and your direction in life with Homecrest Cabinet. Whether you're building or redecorating, Homecrest and D&B Cabinet Sales can help with over 300 affordable combinations. With Homecrest Cabinet and D&B Cabinet, you'll find everything you need to transform a house into a home. Visit D&B Cabinet Sales at 660 East Jackson Street in Shelbyville to explore the possibilities.
Get the inside story weekday mornings with Giant FM Sports.
Postgame is brought to you by H&R Block. Tax solutions to fit your needs. Our final on the First Bank Shelbyville scoreboard. Number 2, Cecina defeats number 4, Triton Central, 34-30. I'm Johnny McCurry, editor of the Shelbyville News, Jeff Brown. And before we do, what is our obligation getting into some of the things of why things happen, why maybe they could have gone the other way? Great game, two terrific teams, and they'll probably do something like it again in conference play again next year.
Well, you look at Tim Abel's record, you just pencil in sectional championship game every year. He's 6-for-6. Unfortunately, he's only got one sectional title so far, and so close tonight, maybe even closer than a lot of the pundits even thought maybe they could be, and just played an outstanding first half. And unfortunately, 3 touchdowns in the first quarter and only 1 since then, and that ended up being their downfall. Just couldn't get in the end zone when they needed to.
Time now for our scoring summary, brought to you by Penny Acres with Hoosier Realtors. Here for life's big moves. Triton Central offensively controlled this game in the early stages. 10-16 mark of the first quarter, Keaton Kermode with a 50-yard run, and the Tigers captured the early lead at 7-0. A few minutes later, the answer from Cecina Baker, a 2-yard touchdown pass from Mac Ayers. Point after, though, no good, and that made it 7-6, Triton Central. 4:04 mark to go, first period. Eboff on a 1-yard quarterback sneak, capping off a drive. Triton Central with a 14-6 lead. And the biggest lead of the night for Triton Central would come just moments later after the Tiger defense gets a stop. It gets a deflected punt as well. Zach Martin, the recovery, and Triton led 21-6. We move on into the second quarter. 30 seconds in, Ayers on a 2-yard run, making it 21-13, Triton Central. The Tigers would reestablish a 2-score lead on a Keaton Kermode 1-yard run with 6:55 left to go in the half. The point after, no good, making it 27-13. 4:54 to go in the half. The final score going into the locker room, Ayers with a 1-yard run, and that made it 27-20, Triton Central at the break. But Cecina took the opening drive, turned it into a funk touchdown catch. That tied the game at 27. Triton would recapture the lead, and for the final time, with just 14 seconds into the fourth period, Kleeman connects on a 31-yard field goal, and the Tigers made it stand up for better than 10 and a half minutes. They get down to a fourth and long situation. A long pass and run play gets the scene of the first down, gets them to midfield. And eventually, a ball delivered from Ayers into the hands of Baker proves to be the difference at 34-30. The Tigers would start the next possession with 1:01 to go and go all the way from their 20 down to the other 20. But a couple of tosses in the neighborhood of the end zone came up short, and Triton season's ending here with a record of 10-2.
Well, not a game Mac Ayers is going to put in his back pocket and say this was one of my best, but opened up the third quarter with 4 straight completions and got his team tied, missed 9 straight completions, and then hit his final 4, including the game winner there to lead his team to victory. Here's your unofficial numbers for tonight. Cecina running the ball, 28 attempts, 160 yards. Middlebrook leading the way there, 18 carries, 140 for him. Ayers passing, 16 of 30, 259 yards. Baker, 7 catches, 138, including the game winner. 16 first downs tonight, 4 penalties for 50 yards, including one late that could have been really costly, and 3 turnovers tonight, 2 interceptions and a fumble lost. Triton Central running the ball on the ground, 40 attempts, 233 yards with a pair of 100-yard rushers. Keaton Kermode, 26 carries, 112. Richard Knowles, 12 for 124, lead the way. Passing, 5 of 12 for 83 yards. Gould, 3 of those catches for 70 yards. 9 first downs for Triton Central, 3 penalties, 30 yards, and 0 turnovers. I don't know what else Triton could have really done tonight other than one more touchdown at some point in time in the second half. Maybe one touchdown in the second half. But I don't know what else they, if I'm Tim Abel, I don't know what else I could have changed. Maybe, like you said, manage the clock a little bit. But that's seconds here, seconds there, maybe something at the end of the first half. Could you made that interception pay, you know, hurt Cecina a little bit more? But I don't know what else you could have done to change this outcome by what's on paper and to say if this did this or this or that. It's just a ball bounce here or there, one way or the other, and a kid making a play late in the game there. And I don't know what else you could do, but be proud of your kids. But this one's going to sting for a while.
Amazing ball game as football comes to a close here in Shelby County with Triton Central's loss tonight. Quick break. Still to come, our player of the game and a 34-30 final in favor of Cecina. You're listening to High School Football, Giant FM.
You know,
Sports.
I like to think of myself as a Mr. Fix-It, but when our furnace goes out in the middle of the night or the AC starts blowing hotter air than it is outside, I rely on the professionals. That's why I call Christian Electric. It doesn't matter when our heating or AC acts up. Christian Electric is just a phone call away, 24-7. Christian Electric installed our York heating and air system, and now our house is warmer in the winter and cooler in the summer. Christian Electric, locally owned and operated. Give them a call, 398-7203, for service anytime, day or night.
Hi, this is Amy Larrison, branch manager at First Bank Shelbyville. You know, the secret to a successful team is for everyone to work together toward the same goal. And at First Bank Shelbyville, we use that same team spirit to help people achieve their financial goals. Maybe you need investment advice or financing for a new home. Maybe you need a business loan or business online banking to streamline your cash management process. Whatever your banking needs, the team of financial experts at First Bank will work with you to get the job done. First Bank Shelbyville, doing great things together.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
H&R Block believes you should never settle for less than the best in tax preparation. That's why H&R Block requires their tax professionals to take more than 84 hours of specialty tax training and continuing education on all of the tax changes each year. Locally, the H&R Block office has recently joined with Southeastern Insurance to provide the best insurance coverage and service available. Make an appointment with H&R Block, call 392-3380 or visit H&R Block at 818 East Broadway. At H&R Block, get the expertise you deserve. Never settle for less.
The team of knowledgeable professionals at Clark Orthodontics know how a beautiful smile can affect your confidence and self-esteem. At Clark Orthodontics, their goal is to provide you with high-quality treatment and give you that terrific smile. Dr. David Clark uses modern treatment techniques to ensure that you get the smile you've always wanted in the most efficient, comfortable way possible. In Shelbyville, visit Clark Orthodontics at 1530 South Miller Street. Call 392-6166 or online at smileByClarkOrtho.com and get the smile you've always wanted.
McKay Manor, the finest independent living retirement community with assisted services and 24-hour care for residents 55 and older in the area. McKay Manor's residents have everything they need to live life with more independence. Offering 5-star dining, a full calendar of creative programs and outings, McKay Manor proudly accepts veterans benefits and offers exceptional pricing on 1- and 2-bedroom apartments with full kitchens. To schedule a personalized tour and complimentary meal, give Tracy Tucker a call at 398-3100 or visit McKay Manor, 1473 East McKay Road, Shelbyville.
The Shelby County Drug-Free Coalition would like to invite you to their monthly meetings that are held at the Blue River Foundation building the second Thursday at 8 a.m. Bring your ideas, your concerns, and ask questions about how you can help fight the drug epidemic in our county. Second Thursdays at 8 a.m. at the Blue River Foundation building, the Shelby County Drug-Free Coalition meeting. You're invited.
To win in sports, you must focus on your strategy as the game changes. The same is true of investments. Your local financial advisor can help. Contact Edward Jones Financial Advisors Ben Purvis, Beth Case, David Ferris, Tom Bennett, or Chris Beckert in Shelbyville, Indiana. Edward Jones, making sense of investing. Member SIPC.
This is High School Football on Giant FM.
Figure out here.
Post-game brought to you by H&R Block. Tax solutions to fit your needs. Our final, what a game. Cecina 34, Triton Central 30. And time now for, well, I guess the final time to name a football player of the game. Brought to you by Edward Jones, making sense of investing. The guy who had not one, not two, and, well, he was within a couple of steps away from getting a third interception tonight is the guy we're going to look at for Edward Jones, player of the game.
Yeah, the junior safety out there, Trent Walters, a couple midfield picks tonight, and the second one almost resulted in the season being a win for Triton Central and moving on. And, you know, it's a tough night for your seniors. Matt Gould had a good game tonight. Your running backs tonight, Richard Knowles, you know, looked outstanding out there tonight, running the ball, doing things in a positive manner for Triton Central. And then you've got the Kermode brothers out there just working their butts off. The offensive line, I thought, was, you know, terrific tonight for Triton Central, really doing things well. But, you know, it just didn't go. And you got to give Tim Abel credit because it just doesn't go the way you planned. You don't plan to lose your quarterback. You had Aaron Steele. You finally had him healthy. You had a full offseason where you knew he was going to be your quarterback. Everything was rolling. Your defense was playing phenomenal. You've got everything going in the right direction, and then one knee injury changes your offense just a little bit and takes away your defense, your ball hawk out there on defense, and here's Triton Central in a sectional championship game just knocking teams off and throwing them to the side and moving on. And unfortunately, you know, what can you take away? I mean, it's the number two ranked team in the state. It's Cecina, a semi-state team last year. It's not like you lost to anybody. You lost to one of the best programs in the state. Out early, year in, year out, just produces teams that knock off wins, and that's what Triton Central is doing right now too, 10-2. You know, in another
are state championship contenders
Here. In another couple weeks, and, you know, Triton Central will get a chance to decompress and come back and have, you know, their football banquet and feel really good about the season they put together. And Tim Abel, you're back to work next year, and maybe for the first time in a couple of summers, you know who your quarterback's going to be. If it's going to be Eric Eakoff, it's going to be the one going forward to lead this team.
Cecina will be on the home field. Wherever that is.
Pick a stadium.
They travel the gamut. I know they played at Chittard when they played Triton Central before, but they will be at home to play undefeated number one Western Boone next week. Whatever, again, home means. Chittard, Roncalli.
Tech. Marion.
I don't know if they go to UIndy anymore, but they may, so yeah.
Wherever they can find some field to play on, and Triton Central's got a field available. I guess if Cecina didn't mind coming back, it'd be an option for them as well.
Coming up, basketball season, so let's kind of close down with a couple of other notes. Waldron girls win their opener tonight.
Yeah, got their star, Morristown's tomorrow. Triton Central got their win last night. Southwestern tomorrow with South Decatur.
Yes.
Before getting Waldron last week, and that confused me. I talked to Noah Stuckey to do our preview, and like, you and Waldron don't open the season on a Friday night, because that's been, seems like for years, those two have done battle like as soon as possible. And he said, no, it's our second game now, so it gave him a chance to together, because I hate just opening against Waldron. We know how good they're going to be, so he felt good that, you know, he could get South Decatur out of the way and get a chance to get a game before they get Waldron next week. And then the Golden Bears of Shelbyville will traditionally sit back and watch for about a week and let everybody play for a while, and they'll just keep working, and then they'll debut. I get a chance to, I'm going to go talk with Jason West tomorrow morning, catch them at practice, kind of see what's going on with the Golden Bears, and are they ready to bounce back from a very tough season, a one-win season last year, to step forward. We'll see what kind of work they did in the offseason and see you know, what kind of young talent's coming up. I know I'm a fan of siblings and how second siblings are better than first. There's a Tackett on the team this year. Jaden Tackett has been coming along. If we remember, Alexis Tackett was the last Shelbyville's leading scorer a couple years ago. Very good ball player, very athletic. I think you're going to see your sister in the same mode. You know, Olivia Nahr is going to be there. There's kids back. It's just now they've got to mentally get a little bit tougher. They had a rough season last year. We'll see what Jason West has to offer. A chance to talk to him tomorrow, and you'll see our preview in the Shelbyville News next week.
Basketball broadcasts are a couple of weeks away. We'll look forward to seeing you in the gym. My thanks to everybody who's been a part of the football broadcast this summer. Even this guy who I continue to drag out of the editor's room at the newspaper and getting back out here with me. Thanks for coming out tonight.
We have an editor's room. Upgrades to our office there I didn't know about and everything. But
you do have walls now, don't you?
We have walls. We cleaned them up. It's actually looking nice. Been doing a lot of work. We were talking today about getting some lights fixed in our office there and upgrading some of them with Duke Energy coming in, taking a look, and hopefully help us out with some lighting in there.
Well, I wasn't talking about cleaning up, but for years you didn't have walls.
I don't need walls.
You're like Les Nessman with no walls.
I got me a desk and a light over it that works. As long as my computer works, I'm good to go. So I'm always happy to help out. I love being on radio and chance to work with you. You make it very easy to work with. Like I said, I hadn't seen Triton all year. To walk in, you know, Monday morning, you're sending me a whole package of notes and stuff. You know, I find stats for you right away to send you back. You're like, there, that's what I want to see. So, chance to work together, and hopefully, you know, we'll get to do some basketball together this year, maybe during the winter. And, you know, if you'll make me work with Jason Parker, I'll probably do that too. But
I'll
you know,
do what I can.
As much as we like working with Jason and giving him a hard time, it's not a good broadcast. We don't give Jason a hard time about something. So, always glad to help out when I got time to do it, and love to be back out. And, you know, at least you brought me to a good game tonight too. So, I can't say anything bad about that.
Great game. Thanks to Tim Abel. He's been a lot of fun to talk to these past few weeks on this little postseason run, and they'll be back. Tigers will have some talent on this football team again next year. We'll look forward to that, but basketball is coming up around the corner. There are a number of area businesses, organizations, sponsors that are the reason we're able to come out and do what we do on Friday nights and throughout the upcoming basketball season. You'll hear their names as we close, so we hope if you enjoy us being out here, you'll let them know that as well. Our final again tonight on the First Bank Shelbyville scoreboard. Cecina rallies with 1 minute to play and beats Triton Central 34-30. For Jeff Brown, I'm Johnny McCrory. Enjoy your weekend. So long, everybody.
High school football has been brought to you by Major Health Partners, CGS Services, Harvester Financial, BP Doc Shop, Shelby County Drug Free Coalition, McKay Manor, Clark Orthodontics, Cating Equipment, Rush Shelby Energy, First Bank Shelbyville, Christian Electric, Penny Acres with Hoosier Realtors, Heritage House, Edward Jones, Maximum Results, American Family Insurance, Shelby Materials, Color Palette, Salmon Brothers, H&R Block, D&B Cabinets, Cagney's Pizza King, Mayor Tom Devon, Shelbyville Paint Flooring and More, Olinger Insurance.
Take a trip with Penny Lane 1 to 4 weekdays on Giant FM. Giant FM 106.3 and 90.